Hi, Father. Welcome. You're alive on the Modern Hoops podcast. You called in. It's just me and Tamon here. You want to say what's up to Tamon?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Well, I got the cameras on. I got the mics on. The cameras are hot. So yeah, whatever you say can and will be used against you in the court of public opinion. You want to put him on the court, Pops?
I want your one on the court and behind the mic.
Jeez!
I am through with him. How can he beat up on the man? 40 and 10.
Yeah.
Nothing to be said. Carried him on his back.
Dang.
Anyway, I love y'all guys.
Love you too, Pops.
Go Warriors.
What's good, family? Welcome to the Modern Hoops podcast show with the freshest opinions and views in the world's most beautiful game. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm here with the homie, my right-hand man, my A1, King Kama Tamon, man. TK, shout out to the boy. Shout out to all the rest of them. B is not here. He's, like he mentioned last episode, during the Southern Fried Poetry Competition. Shout out to him. I saw his rankings. He kind of like...
half a first one I saw.
It. Yeah, like he cooking right now. Yeah. So shout out to them. And Rich Ink, him and Rich Ink doing their thing down in Kentucky. Shout out to Leek. He's at Nova handling his business as always. So shout out to him. Glad he's back in the fold a little bit. And yeah, man, let's get to it. We got a good show. And you know what we're talking about. We're talking about the NBA Finals. And we're definitely talking about Game 4 and how that shaped out. Because Golden State came back and won Game 4. Very much needed. 107-97. Steph Curry had an enormous game, 43 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists. He played how many minutes? 40 minutes strong, roughly 41 minutes strong. He was amazing. He was amazing, and they needed every bit of the 43 points and 10 boards that he poured in. Yeah. What was your thoughts going through the game?
I said it all night going into the game is that this is, you know, they're playing for their lives. You know, you don't go down 3-1 in any series and expect to come back.
Yeah.
Regardless of how popularized it has been in the past couple of years,
mm-hmm.
but especially not the finals. It's only been done once ever in the history. You know, you do not go down 3-1. You're right. On the road. You're in a rough TD Garden. That Boston crowd is going to be loud, energetic.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to play for your life. And that's exactly what I saw. I saw superstardom on display. I saw all the arguments about why I always said Steph was like the best PG ever. Remember, I was saying this since...
You said it way before I was ready to say it.
17?
Yeah, you said it way before I was ready to say it.
I probably said it prematurely, honestly.
Yeah, I was definitely leery of like how soon you were like, okay, let's not disrespect Magic Johnson in the midst of all of this. But you was high on it early.
I saw it and I was just, I didn't see it going anywhere. I saw it being sustainable until forever. Like, the thing I always say, if Steph Curry is 40, he's JJ Redick. And not JJ Redick going out, you know,
right?
What I
mean? Like prime JJ Redick.
Yeah, he's somewhere around those years. No disrespect to JJ, no, but he would even.
I think he would understand where you're going with it. Yeah,
where I'm trying to come from. So, seeing Steph Curry receive all of this pressure time and time again, and mind you, he hasn't slacked in any of these games in the finals. He's been hooping.
Nope.
This entire time, even in Game 3. That we're going to talk about as well for a little bit. In game three, they were down big, but this is why it's extremely important to watch the games. If you watch that third quarter, legendary Warrior third quarter run, Steph Curry puts that team up 83-82.
Yep.
So at that point, regardless of how you lose in the fourth quarter, people want to say, oh, he only scored 3 points in the fourth quarter. He shot this bad. It's his clutch moments were there if you watch the game.
Right.
So the fact that there's this, it feels like media pressure or like smoke and mirrors. It shouldn't be here. And I don't feel it for Steph. I don't feel like, regardless of how this series goes, it affects his legacy at all, especially with the way that he has been hooping. He's been showing why he's top two point guard of all time.
Yeah. I was at a, I think it was after game one, because they lost game one.
Yeah.
They lost game one, and shout out to Matt. He works for the Lakers, and he's a friend of ours from Community, also a friend of the show, so shout out to him.
My goalie back in the day. Like, yeah.
So shout out to the homie Matt, man. Matt and I were going back and forth on Twitter a little bit, and he was saying how Steph sold game one. And I'm like, at what point do we get to this where we're watching the same game and we realize that he didn't have the help that he should have? And this is the same cape that y'all are willing to put on for other players, but y'all won't put it on for him. And I'm like, okay, like, and he's not 6'8", 250. He's not 7 foot center.
For those who don't know, the direct comparison that's being made is Curry and Bron.
Right.
A lot of people are getting upset that Curry is now getting that he doesn't have help kind of statements. And truth, when Bron was getting it for so many years, when he had All-Star Hall of Fame help as well. So it's kind of just this weird fan base clashing. But continue. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, you good. You good. I mean, context matters. And so, like, in that conversation, I'm like, if he averages 35-5.
Which you said he probably was going to
like, he's going to.
League one, as somebody said.
I said he's going to have to average 35-5. And he looks like he's going to average 35-5. Yeah. And I said that. You can find a tweet. Like, he is, you know, free of any, like, criticism from me.
What's he supposed to do? 47-7?
like, he's free from the... He's a 6'3", 200-pound guard being attacked at every turn.
By Defensive Player of the Year being the point of attack. With these great athletic defensive wings, because Jason Tatum has stepped it up extremely this year, especially this
postseason. As a defensive player.
And then you have Robert Williams holding down the paint as the anchor, and he's getting off 35-5, and we still trying to slander this man?
Knowing that he's the only real option for them coming down the court. And I think game three, we finally saw it. We finally came to the conclusion, and people started to actually back off that narrative of how great this, you know, the supporting cast is. And don't get me wrong,
they're great.
This is a great supporting cast. Yeah. But now we are experiencing their flaws. We're experiencing their age. We're experiencing certain situations on both spectrums, because Jordan Poole's maybe too young. Like, he's still trying to figure things out. This is his first playoff experience, first NBA Finals experience.
Klay's coming back from not playing for 2 years.
Exactly. Draymond Green is how old? 33?
Draymond is out of his prime. Regardless of whatever the age is, like, he's out of his prime. He's 33, 34 right now, but it's the drop-off has been significant, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
So now we're looking at what we used to deem as this golden era Warriors come back down to earth in a sense, and the only guy
that's still on God level
is Steph. And no one's acknowledged that.
It's not fluke. It never was fluke.
It was never fluke. And that's the problem I'm having with people who are watching this game and aren't looking at it through that lens. Because you can't look at game three. And game three was so, like, yes, Klay dropped in 25, but people have called that a quiet 25. I'm not gonna disrespect.
I was happy to see the ball go in.
The ball went in. Yeah. Like, he played pretty well. And put in 25 points.
He did some great shots still for the stops and runs.
Yeah, but you got guys on the court that could not contribute in any way offensively. Could not. Jordan Poole struggled. He started to be a little more aggressive, but still struggled to actually cause an imprint on the offensive end. Draymond Green is about to get this Ben Simmons slander. He is so close to this Ben Simmons slander. I mean,
did you see the tweet from his mama?
I ain't nothing, man. I know one thing. I don't care how bad I play. My mom not going to tweet.
Yo, my mama better have my back.
I don't care how bad I'm doing.
My mom
better hold it down.
She better lie. She better, I don't know what game y'all was watching. My son had 50 last night.
What I say? If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all. That's my mom, dog. I don't know. I don't know about y'all mom. But she ain't gonna,
Greg, mom.
She ain't gonna put me out there like that. Cause 35 minutes, one field goal, four rebounds, and one block in game three was atrocious. It looked as bad as that stat line says it was.
No, it looked worse. Because it's stuff on the court that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. I always say that. I'm literally crying. He played horrible. His mom.
Mom was like, I need you to. That's not the Draymond I know. That's not the Draymond I raised. You know how sick that is?
You know how bad you got to play for your mama to be confused?
Your mom be looking at you like, you don't even look like you, bro. I don't even look like my son, bro.
Oh, my gosh.
She said, my son is garbage right now. That's, my gosh. You need to come on, man. Like, that was crazy.
All right, I'm good.
So Golden State struggled throughout game three because they couldn't put together, you know, enough offense as well in any stops. They couldn't stop anybody. And I was having this conversation with Leak. And I was telling Leak, I was like, bro, we're at a space in game three. We had a space where we have to find out what kind of coach Steve Kerr is. Oh, yeah. And Steve Kerr has to make the difficult decision. He has to be able to look and say, all right, I'm either going to bench Draymond and maybe look to these younger guys for minutes, because these younger guys are the fluid ones. They're the mobile ones. Gary Payton should play more minutes. Jonathan Kuminga should start playing minutes. This is what I was saying after game three. Of course, that didn't happen in game four. Jonathan Kuminga still hasn't touched the floor for any significant minutes. He has played, I think, like 2 minutes in garbage time. But he hasn't played any significant minutes, and I still think that should be a conversation. But, we have to be objective about what we're seeing. And you cannot ride and die with your old heads just because it's your old head.
Four, he benched him towards the stretch to protect the lead, made sure he had better shooters out on the floor. But still, it's to the point where it's messing up.
It's messing up the things they do well.
Yeah, the flow and the game plan when he's out there literally not able to guard or contribute offensively at times. Yeah. So down the stretch. I was talking to Leak earlier, and I said, because I always tease him about my Andrew Wiggins take. I said, the Warriors would be fine as long as Andrew Wiggins is better than Harrison Barnes. He doesn't have to be as good as KD.
That is
true. He has to be somewhere in the middle.
Yep.
And we'll get to Andrew Wiggins' game in a second, but since he's been playing so well throughout this particular finals, he's on that max. Part of the reason I always said that Draymond took that $100 million deal max earlier instead of fought for more money is because I thought that he would see the writing on the wall, that he would be the first one that when it came to like paying again, they wouldn't. And or contracts or finances might get in the way. So, which is a smart move by him. I'm not knocking anything. And you got paid. Even knocking that bit. But what I am getting to is the play that I've seen from Andrew Wiggins tell me Draymond can sit a little bit more, a lot a bit more.
Yeah.
And we can figure out ways to go through these other guys. Because Andrew Wiggins is, you know, just an initiator away, just initiating the offensive plays away from just being that max that we were talking about, type of talent that he has been, because he's defending the best player on the floor down the stretches throughout the whole games.
Throughout the whole game. It's definitely, you remember Coach Carter where Sam Jackson has him in the huddle. He's like, hey, yo, bro, just hold on to that monster. Like, it's definitely like, all right, Wig, like, we just going to let you, you got to hold this fort down.
It can get tough.
You got to hold this fort down. And Tatum definitely is starting to catch a stride a little bit. He did kind of like, he came out gunning but then Wiggins as a defender, and I think people are saying like Tatum kind of has a tendency to let the game get away from him. He doesn't attack all the time as much as he should. He takes shots he shouldn't take in terms of like tough twos and all that in the third. Like all of that in the third. But I credit that a lot to Wiggins just being present the entire time.
Because if you notice this series, I couldn't say that about Jason Tatum in terms of tough two Tatum, bad shots, and et cetera. in game one, he had like 13 assists. His shot wasn't going.
Right.
So he's dishing the rock. He's being a playmaker. He's making the right plays. The shots that aren't going is because there's a phenomenal defender on him at the point of attack. Golden State has been doing a great job of sending multiple people at him when Andrew Wiggins isn't on him or if Steph's on him.
But it ain't long. It ain't long. It isn't like Wiggins is sitting for a long time when Tatum's out, when Tatum's on the floor. Like, it's maybe a minute and some change. Like, he played what? He played 43 minutes. He played the most minutes, I think, out of everybody. Yes, he played the most minutes that
game four. He was the
glue four.
In game four. If you watch, he's getting it off the boards, pushing the breaks. He's able to hit the three. He's able to defend the best player. One of the best plays of game four last night that I saw from Andrew Wiggins was just a hustle play. It ended in a foul, too. A hard foul wasn't a bad one, though.
Yeah.
On Al Horford, it was the chase down attempt for the block.
Yep.
So Al Horford was about to get that easy two for the dunk. Mind you, this game has been close. And I tell everybody all the time, when you're playing a road game, you're not trying to dominate the entire game, especially if you're playing against a great team.
Right.
You're trying to hang around. So those times where it's going to be a breakaway dunk and the electrifying crowd is about to rise up on their feet,
yep.
I understand that's 2 points, but that's momentum, that's flow, that's noise you're going to have to deal with, that energy on the defensive end, you're going to have to respond.
Yep.
So by him coming down, chasing down that play, staying with it, getting a clean hard foul right on the arm so he can't finish that dunk, that was one of those plays where it's not going to show up in the stat sheet as anything else but a foul. But if you watch that, how it was able to calm down and quiet momentum for a little second, rather than that dunk coming down.
And having the crowd erupt.
Those are the plays where it's like, Andrew Wiggins, this is beautiful. This is basketball. Thank you for hustling. It's moments like that where it's, or even him as the defender, he doesn't get rattled a lot. You don't see him complaining to refs 1,000 times.
Right.
He's going to get scored on regardless. It happens.
He knows there's a superstar he's looking across from. Yeah. Like, he understands,
Jason
like,
Tatum was cooking for a second and he was just nothing you could do about
like
it.
Like, he understands those kind of buckets are going to happen. Like, and you have to understand that if you've played with Steph Curry, like, you have to realize, like, okay, that's an offensive, like, superstar right there. That's a talent right there. He's going to score.
Yeah.
I can't allow him scoring to get me out of my game. I can allow
him to make it
as hard as possible. And you speak to that foul. I speak to this thing. It was in the 6 minute mark of the fourth quarter, and it went like this. Wiggins missed a jump shot. He gets his own rebound, put back layup. Couple plays down around the 5 minute mark. Poole misses a layup. Wiggins comes back, gets the rebound, put back. I think at that point, he had like 14, 15 boards already. Like, he was so active everywhere. Like, he was everywhere for a minute. And that was the part where I was like, all right, Draymond Green doesn't even need to be on the court defensively.
Bro,
he didn't come back in this game
Draymond
at all.
Draymond on the floor constantly now.
Like,
and
like, even that whole, like, sub him in for offense, defense, I was perfectly fine with saying, like, all right, we can live with Wiggins, Loon. As if I'm Golden State, you can live with Wiggins, Loon, Steph, Clay, and I'm missing one. Maybe GP.
I was about to say, I'll go get Caden.
Like, I can live with it.
I can live with it. For stretches on the court.
Because at
I
that...
I can live with Poole and Curry on the court at the same time for long stretches right now.
Right.
Unless we're trying to go out for a quick knockout at the end of, like, a second quarter.
Yeah, and Poole and I know we're talking about Wiggins because he's definitely an unsung hero. And shout out to Loon as well, who's also one of my unsung heroes.
But Poole has been hitting big shots.
No, that's what I was going to get to. Like, that first half stretch.
He's not filling it up, but it's...
That first half stretch was encouraging. It should be encouraging for Golden State fans because now you see, like, okay, he's getting his feet
wet.
He
had 8 of the Warriors' points in a row, I believe, maybe 10.
Yeah.
In that first half.
Yeah. And if you're a Golden State fan, you have to feel a little bit confident about that with him starting to hit those shots in the finals, going back to Golden State in Chase, where he is definitely comfortable in Chase.
I wish it was the Oracle.
So, I feel like the series would be different if it was Oracle, but I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't want to disrespect Boston, but I definitely think seeing Poole hit those shots was like, okay, cool. All right, he's not 30 point pool.
He's just young.
And that's okay.
His first finals at 23.
And that's okay.
Nobody even really. We all expected him to be good this year.
Yeah.
Nobody expected him to be this good.
Not six man. Not six man.
Yeah. Not this quick.
Pushing starter. You know, like good.
People calling him Deadpool, Kid Splash. I didn't think he was gonna be nicknamed good at the end of the year. 30 point in his first playoff game.
Right.
Good. So, but it's supposed to be Knicks and Bruises. He's playing a great a team. Boston is posted trouble pool. I didn't expect him to have any kind of like, 30 point game or anything like that. But the stretches he has on the floor and the shots that he hit,
right?
They feel so big every time he hits one. And maybe it's the style of play. He'll have a tough contact layup. I understand it's just two, but it's momentum. He'll have, you know, step back Trey. And it's like, oh, my gosh, he's stretching the floor. And for spurts like that, when Poole is hitting and Curry is sitting, it's like.
It's like a breath of fresh air,
it's
bro.
Like a Curry clone. It's like, okay, not as strong, you know. I get it. It's like the off brand.
Right.
But
it's definitely reaching into like, what game was that? No. It's the Mario Party when you hit the thing and the dice rolls. And you don't know if you want to roll like a 1 or a 10. Like, it's definitely a dice roll with him still at this point. It's like, I'm still trying to figure out, like, all right, when I put him on the court, am I getting that guy for this 3-minute stretch? Or am I getting a 1 of a pool in that 3-minute stretch? And when they land that 8 or 9 from him, that 7 or 8 from him, it's like, oh, thank God. Steph can sit here an extra 2 minutes. Like, that's an extra 2 minutes we can allow Pool to go ahead and take some shots. And we can allow him to run his offense a little bit. But I think all in all, like, Golden State should feel great. Feel great because I have them winning game 5. And once again, I'm rushing. Mm-hmm. Boston. Because Boston win game three. They looked great. They attacked everything. Everything was in the paint. There was a lot of dunk-ins, and they seemed to get away from that in game 4. Like, they didn't attack the paint as hard as I expected them to, especially Al Horford. Like, he wasn't in there as much. They went in there when Robert Williams was in. Robert Williams was so problematic for them because they couldn't. Golden State can't contain the basketball.
They can't.
They cannot contain the basketball. And that's why I'm crying for them to play some younger guys and so they can stay in front of them just because they're quicker. Got the legs to do it.
They had Looney and Draymond on the floor at the same time at one point. And
it was barbecue chicken,
but
bro.
But those are the moments where I'm like, Steve Kerr, what are you doing?
Barbecue chicken, bro.
Yeah, it's like you can't. You literally can't. If you're going to try to do that, I can see you can do Kuminga and Looney. Yeah, at the same time, because Kuminga at least is going to attack the space in front of him if his jumper isn't going.
Yeah.
But having Draymond, bad Draymond at that, the way he's been playing this finals, on the floor at the same time as Lowen, I'm like, are you trying to throw this game right now?
No, it was crazy because I'm watching it, and it happened in game 4 too. Like, they really couldn't keep them out of the paint at all. Like, Jaylen Brown getting to his right hand was so easy. And they didn't care. I mean, of course they was going to make the layup, but they didn't care if it was coming off because they knew they had to help. Rob Williams standing right there, like, all right, 2 points, boom. Every time, boom, 2 points. And then the overhelp, oh my God, the overhelp was so aggressive. And so they're kicking these passes out. Marcus Smart has been really good at it throughout the entire playoffs, and he's shown it even in the finals a little bit, where he's driving. And he already knows this is going back to opposite wing. Like, they're going to drop down to the corner, and I'm just gonna swing it opposite wing, you know. And that guy's open every time. 3, boom. And they're knocking him down. I can't even hate watching the game. Come, like, they're open. Grant Williams is open. Al Horford's open. They're going to hit him. And it's corner 3 after every time. It's sick. And so it's like, shoot. I don't know the answer to this because – not with this lineup.
That's the answer.
Not with this lineup. Because this is nasty. This is nasty behavior.
They got
there is no way you can be attacked at all three levels like
a,
that.
A GOAT performance.
You have to take something away
from a nasty 3-1 situation, because Robert Williams, it was at one point, I think it was in the first quarter, he was like 5-5, and I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It was just like, They couldn't. He was literally getting rebounds just over the top of Draymond. Like
it was sick, reach bro. Up.
It's, the size difference was that great. The activity level is that great, which is why we're, you know, preaching for somebody like Kuminga to be able to play more. And I understand now's not the time, definitely not in the middle of a series, to our young boy in there, but just introducing somebody throughout the entire postseason, you know what right. I mean? To be able to play in some situations, I think could have definitely helped you, even if it's for like, you know, 4 minute stretches, or you know, 8 minutes a game or something like that, just to alleviate a little bit of pressure. But the answer definitely isn't to play Looney and Draymond at the same time.
Yeah, and I think that was like the last thing I said, because League and I were going back and forth, and so we were talking about Game 3, and then kind of like alluding to Game 4 and how we thought it was going to play out. He was already screaming like, "Hey man, I think this series is over." I said, "I'm not ready to say that."
He's picked Boston like every single last game now. Like that, like, I've talked to him about.
Like I'm not, and I understand why, because it looks like they should be dominating the series. It looks like that, and I will be the first one to say I was wrong. I came in here and I said Golden State in five, and I thought it was going to be the opposite. I thought Boston was going to be able to hit shots the way they hit shots. Wrong. I thought Boston wasn't gonna be able to attack them at all three levels like this. Wrong. And I thought that Golden State offense would be a little more fluid, a little, you know, just them. Wrong. Like, it hasn't been any of those. And so, like you said, it takes probably his best performance ever.
Best finals performance from him, yeah, probably.
Like, ever. I'm gonna go playoffs. Like, I'm gonna go. This might be his best playoffs perhaps. Performance ever in order to tie the thing up 2-2.
Nah, Curry is a legendary shot maker. Maybe the greatest shot maker since Prime Bean. Maybe the greatest shot maker ever. If you're asking some people,
mm-hmm.
And he put on a legendary display, demoralizing teams over and over again. With great shots that are coming from so far out on the basket, it's like it feels kind of impossible to defend, regardless of whether your hand is up. It's kind of confusing in a sense.
I knew it was serious in the fourth quarter. I think it was 20-18. Steph comes down, hits like this. He already hit one shot. It was a crazy shot. Then he came back, got the screen, stepped back into a 33-footer with Al Horford's hand. Boom, 23-18, first quarter, and he's like screaming at the Celtics fans. I'm like, oh man, he's about to go off. Like, it's about to be one of those. And so I just strapped it. I'm like, all right, man, let's see what you do. Because
he's one of those players, though, one of those all time greats. I expected that performance. So shout out to Steph Curry for winning me money. League at me, he was like, yeah, I bet Tatum 20 in the win. And I was like, oh, really? I bet Steph Curry 30 in the win. Come on, man. We know time it is.
so like we said a little bit, and we talked a lot about the Golden State aspect, but on the Boston side, my question is, because we see they have it, but do they have the discipline to kind of like push through? Everything's there. The defense is there. It travels. The offense looks like it's there when they commit to it, but we've seen them falter. We've seen them kind of get away from their game. Is this team too young to finish the job?
No. I wouldn't say too young to finish the job. I think they're talented. I think they're ready. I think they're here. I think they've had one of the best playoff runs I've seen in a while. I can't disrespect them by saying they're too young to finish the job. Playing the Warriors.
Fair. That's fair.
The Warriors could have beat the Heat. The Warriors could have beat the Sixers. The Warriors, we were debating whether the Warriors could beat the Nets, like, at full strength.
Mm-hmm.
That was the matchup going into the year. So the Warriors held up their end.
Right.
They made it to the finals as the prohibitive favorite in the West. And now the Celtics made the finals not as the favorite, as the underdogs. And sweeping all of these superstars that were been dominating the league for a couple of years. So
yeah.
You sweep the Nets. You know what I mean? And then you go – I don't have to go through their run.
Yeah.
They deserve to be here. I don't think they're too young or anything like that. If they lose, they just lost.
Mm.
And that's okay. Somebody has to lose.
That's fair.
They've been playing great. I can't really knock the Celtics. they stole one in Golden State. They gave up one in Boston. It happens. So I don't know why there's always this need to, if something is being praised, we have to knock the other thing.
That's fair.
And it's always a rarity that we don't. Like LeBron 07. Okay, like no, we're not gonna talk about that 07 loss because he was so young and et cetera, et cetera. And it's right. Like, no, like sometimes people just gotta lose. Like sometimes
somebody has to lose.
Somebody has to lose. Right. And that's cool. So when I'm watching this series, it feels more like that. I'm not gonna knock Steph if he doesn't win this finals.
Yes.
He's been hooping. Somebody has to lose. But it's just how you go out. You have to go out swinging, playing in a certain manner, making certain adjustments. And I think both teams have been doing that throughout the entirety of this finals. So, nah, everybody deserves to be here. Both teams deserve to win. And whoever loses deserves to lose. They just didn't play as well as the other team. That's why I'm excited about this series.
I understand that. I think I have a habit because I've seen this play out before. I've seen OKC get to the finals versus Miami. And then it's like, okay. The talent.
They felt too young, though.
The talent was there. And maybe the age difference may be a little bit off.
KD's like 23. And Jason Tatum's 24. Jalen Brown's 26.
26, okay.
25, 26. Okay, Al Horford's mid-30s. He's that's a fair. Vet.
Marcus Smart's like 20. 25. Okay, all right. So, yeah, it's different because
no,
KD
Marcus
was 23.
Smart, Marcus Smart older than me. I think.
No, I think we're about the same age.
Yeah, so he's like 25, 26.
I think
about like
the same ballpark.
Yeah, I
was
gonna say.
But hold on, I gotta know.
Yeah, but like nah, they're not as young as that OKC squad, especially because when you think about who was leading them and
28.
Yeah, he's 28. Yeah, these guys aren't too young. Jason Tatum's the youngest. He's just the best, so we're wondering if they're too young. No.
Okay. Yeah.
They're good.
So I think I was leaning into that thought process for a minute, maybe because I just misjudged how old they were. Well, how long they've been in the league, at least. And I was like, okay, this could be a lot like what Miami OKC series felt like. Mm-hmm. And they're young, a little undisciplined. The talent is there.
Yeah,
they can be scary if they put
like
it out.
KD led that series in points scored.
Right,
but. You know, they still got gentlemen swept.
Right. So it can. Like, if they were 3-4 years older, you know, maybe this is different. But we all saw how that played out, too.
Yeah, but Golden State is pretty young, too, in their rotational pieces. You know what I mean?
I know. They're not.
If we're talking Jordan Poole being, well, never mind, because they're not playing anybody. Gary Payton's 28.
Right.
Yeah, all their young boys, they're not playing.
They're not playing any of them. I'm about to say it, bro.
I was like,
Steve Kerr is in ages, bro. Yeah. Like, I'm at that space. Like, yeah, I'm looking at it like he's not playing any
not
of the young
playing.
Boy.
Jordan Poole is the only
is
boy.
The only young
the
boy
only
on the
young
court,
boy.
Bro. Everybody else is.
I was like, yeah, they gotta be.
Everybody else is in their 30s outside of Jordan Poole and Gary Payton.
Andrew Wiggins. We're not gonna do that.
Oh, yeah, Wiggins. Wiggs, how old is Wiggs? 29?
Not 29.
27?
Yeah, that might be it.
I'm bad at ages because once I was like.
He's like 26, 27. He came out in like 2014. He's like the same age as us. We can't keep calling these people old and young.
I think it's because
like they're not
he's 27. No, he's 95. He's definitely me.
He's older than me. What are we talking about?
Yeah, okay. So he got it. I'd be misjudging age because you see him in the league for so long, but we've seen him on
Tino.
We've
seen him since they were like 14.
Facts.
That's the thing.
Facts. And so it like it plays with my head a little bit.
Yeah, we've seen Andrew Wiggins for, you know,
since Huntington
years.
Prep, dog.
Yeah, exactly. So of course he feels 40. Like, nah.
But so I think looking at it, I was like, man, the narrative kind of got into me, but. I'm leaning on your side on this and say, like, you're right. Like, Boston can just lose.
Yeah.
And that should be okay.
Well,
like,
Boston going into this series always had affordability to kind of just lose. They didn't have as much pressure.
True.
Especially going through their Eastern Conference. Like, nobody kind of really expected them to get all the way to the finals. Even though they're a good and talented team,
mm-hmm.
you know, they weren't the favorites. The Warriors had the pressure in terms of the inability to just lose.
Yeah.
And even in a sense, now if they lose a series, there's some players or and people and personnel that are definitely going to have to answer heavy questions deservedly. Like, for some reason, if they lose the series, Draymond Green is going to be on the hottest seat.
No, bro. Like, I didn't say this out loud, but I'm at the space, and I'll think about it after the game. I'm like, win or lose, Draymond Green has to answer some questions if he continues to play the way he's playing.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Like, win or lose.
Win or lose, bro. And the podcast is not enough. You can't just keep getting on the podcast saying I'm playing like trash.
Have you seen the podcast and stats? Oh, my gosh. It's like, he's averaging
it's like 21 pods and 21 fouls.
At one point, he had like 15 total points and 17 podcasts. So it was like 15 finals points and 17 total playoff podcasts. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, and I'm not even knocking for doing a podcast or whatever. Because
I love it.
Yeah, I believe you do whatever you want to do and you get home and you're relaxing and et cetera, et cetera. Now you're going to have to take some criticism because this is your job, podcasting right. about basketball. So now you're talking about work-related things. So they're going to want to see you produce a little bit more. You're going to have heavy pressure. That's why last podcast we say he should have just went 0-30 at the beginning of the playoffs.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're going to do it at the beginning of the playoffs, carry all the way through. I respect it. But now that you're playing like absolute garbage, your mom thinks you're a clone. Well, your play is suggestive of it not being of you, is what right. your mom was saying. I'm not gonna take it that far. Yeah, you got some questions to answer regardless.
Regardless, bro.
regardless.
Because the stat line is nasty.
His contract coming up, right? Like a year? One more year on that joint?
I think one more. I don't think he's going anywhere.
I'm just saying about money.
But money, like, big cut, big cut, like. You can't watch this series and think Draymond is in a space where he can win this series and just pretend like nothing happened.
Yeah, two more years on it. 2024.
Like he can't go into this after the season, win or lose, and be like, well, we won, so hey, we did what we had to do. Nah. No, we didn't.
No, you're
they did.
His on court role has now changed. You know what the weird thing is, and I thought about I was like, is it too young? I mean, is he too young to start transitioning into the Udonis Haslam role? Because think about it. I can't see Draymond anywhere else. I don't want him to be anywhere else.
That's
I want
true.
All of them to be Warriors for life. I'm not suggesting he gets traded or anything like that.
Right.
But realistically, at some point, I'm going to have to say, for the betterment of my basketball team, I have to look elsewhere for somebody else to play that position of your minutes.
Right.
So, could we transition Draymond into one of those player coaches roles, like
right.
Udonis Haslam or something? Or is the fact that he's, you know, 34 years old or something like that too young of a thought?
I don't know. Because he's
playing like he can't stay on the floor like anymore with any of these guys.
And that feels disrespectful.
But
I understand. But I understand where you're coming from. And I'm not. And once again, I'm not ready.
Hall of Famer, I'll say it, great. I'm not ready.
I'm not ready because I know some Golden State fans and they're going to look at me like, Gray, I can't believe you just rolled with that. I'm not ready to say it just yet. But it's a thought.
You're not mad at me for saying
it? It's a thought. Like, it's okay to think about, and I've never thought about it in terms of, like, anyone else having a Udonis Haslam role because who thinks about having a Udonis Haslam role? It's so unique. to that organization. Like, no one else is out here just doing that.
That's the comparison I immediately make. When you think about Udonis Haslam, when you think about the Heat organization,
yeah.
Like, he's kind of like the poster player for Heat. You know what yeah. I mean? For culture.
Mm-hmm.
Think about Golden State. We always said Draymond was the leader on that floor. He was the heart and soul of the team and et cetera, et cetera. So I wouldn't really want to see him anywhere else in any other shape or form, but
yeah,
I kind of am about to start getting ready to stop seeing you on the court as well.
If it's going to be like this, yes. And once again, I'm not
saying he's done.
I'm not saying he's done. Thank you. Cause that's where I'm not ready to say he's done, but
nah,
his self-awareness is annoying me now. Because it's like, you know you're playing bad.
Yeah.
You know you need to play better. And yet here we are, another pod.
That's what it's telling
like,
me.
Like, here's another pod telling me why you didn't or how it's not
that's
happening.
That's telling me that you can't play better. Like, when you're that self-aware and I don't see improvement,
yeah,
it's telling me it's not you. It's
and that's all I'd be somebody, asking for.
Somebody's enforcing their will on you. So Boston is just, you can't handle Boston. Boston makes you look, you know, like garbage. Like, or you just actually can't bring yourself to that level anymore. You've declined. So those are the only two options for me if you're self-aware. Is it that somebody else is stopping you from being good, like actively suppressing you,
mm-hmm.
or you can no longer reach that level anymore. Which is okay. We're going to all take steps back, but this is drastic.
And it could be both. It could be both.
It could be a combination.
Because one of the things that I've seen people start to express and people are starting to notice is that people are figuring out Golden State, or figuring out Draymond Green, rather. They're figuring out Draymond Green at the time where he's in a decline. Like, he's obviously aging. Like, it's clear cut. He got gray in the beard. He's not moving as quick in the perimeter. He's not hitting shots. He's not. It's not 2016 where he shot, what, 37%, 38% from three that year? Like, that one outlier, I think it was 2016.
Granted.
Or was it 2015? I can't remember.
He was so open.
True. And but he's still so open. He is still so open. And people are like,
yeah,
hey, man, you hit him then, but you're not hitting him now. So we're going to rock with the percentages. And that's fine. That's fine. But people are starting to figure it out. And this is where the league is kind of caught up to Golden State in terms of how they're constructing their teams. Everyone got this tween 3-4 guy running the floor, trying to be like, you're seeing it all over the place. Scotty Barnes, Evan Mobley, who am I missing? Giannis is like, even though Giannis is like a big, but he's that.
You're that, trying to get your point forward.
You got Ben Simmons. You got all of these.
You want to put Bam in there. You be pushing the, it's everybody.
Everybody's doing this tweener 4-5-3 guy, and they're athletic. They can play multiple positions on the defensive end. They can board. They can push the ball up the floor.
LeBron prototypes. Now, granted, I'm not saying like Scottie Barnes, LeBron James Jr. No, that isn't, you know what I mean? But when you're talking about point forwards, you're talking about these 6'8 forwards.
Pascal Siakam.
If y'all don't feel comfortable with me saying Brian prototypes, Grant Hill prototypes, however you want to.
Yeah.
You know, the forward that pushed the ball.
Mm-hmm. And so because of that, it's like, oh, well, Draymond Green, and well, if you want to take it to the top tier degree of what this is, like LeBron James is that, okay, cool. But then you have Draymond Green as like the prototype.
Yeah.
Here's volume two.
Yeah.
Here's the update.
These are the things that you all can be. Because we all can't be LeBron James.
Right.
But if you're 6'8", 240, you could be Draymond Green if you do these things.
And guess what? You could be a tad bit better if you're able to knock down this 20-footer.
Oh, you could stretch the floor. Now you're in a different category.
Oh, you can jump 40 inches off the ground, 45 inches off the ground?
Well, now you're astronomical.
Like, no, I think that guy, I think Jonathan Kuminga can jump like 40 inches off the ground.
These guys are doing this so regular nowadays.
Exactly.
Remember back in the day when you heard about somebody with a 40?
We were like, oh, shoot, like he's going to the league.
Yeah, no, honestly, we were like, yeah, bro, got a 40. Like, word? Like, you used to go to the park just to see people dunk. Like, it's weird. You sit on the sideline. It was kind of like, now everybody got a 40.
Everybody got a 40. And
I'm going to tell my kids I had a 40.
Oh, man. I'm going to tell them it's a lie. Call it hate if you want.
Keep me humble.
I'm going to tell them it's a lie because you can't be better than me because I obviously don't have a 40.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to kick the lie.
Like, where's the footage, Dad? Don't exist, son. It got burned in a house fire. Now I'm telling more lies.
You brought up such a lot of you have to have evidence and defend later on. You tell them the truth from now on. All the time, Greg. All the time.
Like, what was the house fire? I don't remember it.
Greg,
you won't remember it.
26 introvert. There you go.
Nah, we could push 30. We can say 30.
We'll say 30.
We'll say 30.
We'll say 30. Yeah, but everybody
it's
got
it's
a 40.
It's cat, but we say it.
Everybody got a 40 nowadays, so it's. These point fours, I guess, are kind of normally explosive.
Right. And so now these guys can stand in front of Draymond Green. They can stand in front of Steph Curry. They can stand in front of Klay. Well, definitely Klay. Maybe not Steph Curry because we're watching it not happen. Stand in front of Steph Curry. But they can stand in front of multiple positions, and they can be just the same amount of a headache as Draymond Green was before all these guys started popping up. And here we are. Here we are. We're watching it where Jason Tatum can stand in front of Draymond Green. Robert Williams can stand in front of Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. Grant Williams, to a lesser extent, can stand in front of Draymond Green. And guess what? Draymond Green, it can't exploit them. And so that's the problem. And that's going to be the problem the entire series. And the question is, can they overcome it? And I think they can, because once again, there's nothing stopping Steph Curry at this point. You've allowed him four games of complete utter.
Now it's not gonna slow down.
It's over.
You unleashed the floodgates now.
It's over now. You should have nipped that in the bud. At least by game two.
Might drop 50 next game.
You should have nipped it in the bud at least by game two. But he is too comfortable with y'all defense. Yeah. Even if y'all would try to switch it up, he's too comfortable with the bodies you're trying to push on him and lean on him with. He's here now.
Y'all are food now.
35-5 is here now. Like, it's over, bro. Like, just settle into that. You have to make sure everyone else continues to be mid and below average. Yeah. That's what you have to do. Yeah. So
you have to make this kind of like the AI moment. But granted, this team is so much better than that Sixers team.
So much better. I don't.
Yeah, but
for my young folks, y'all don't know, bro. Y'all don't know. If that's a series you want to rewatch,
you wanna say by yourself.
If you want to rewatch a series, you have to watch that series, and you have to understand. I would say watch the Lakers series before that one to realize how dominant that Lakers team was. And so when they matched up with AI in them,
they didn't lose that postseason except to AI. I tell everybody.
That's why I say you got to watch that. You got to watch the conference finals to understand how dominant LA was, and then realize that AI got a game on them. Like, that's how crazy that team was. Legend. I don't care. He ain't got a ring. He's a legend, bro.
Got a ring in my heart. He got a ring in Virginia. I tell you that.
All right, so let's get off this because we spent a lot of time on the finals. Game five, how you feel about it? What do you think happens?
Golden State. Yeah, I got Golden with you. State. It's going to be a close game. I say Golden State wins by like 7-8.
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the game, we get stretched out by free throws, but it'll be a close game.
I agree. I'm pretty much in the same ballpark. It's definitely gonna be close, and Boston's not gonna change anything on the offensive end because it works. They just gotta commit to it for a full 48. They commit to it for a full 48, they win this game. But I don't think that's gonna happen. And that's the moments where Steph Curry has been taking full advantage of them. When they start turning the ball over, they start getting a little too passive. They get away from what's working. Steph Curry has been eating that up.
But I had said it earlier or last pod when we had watched game one when it said they didn't play well, like both teams.
Yeah.
But the Warriors had so much room for improvement because they played disastrously awful at times. Yeah. So when you're playing that bad and you have that much room for improvement, Boston is only going to play so much better for the rest of the series.
This is true. They're shooting ridiculously.
The Warriors... The fact that y'all aren't knocking them out at some of these points in some of these games or not up 3-1,
yeah,
you can't let teams like this have life or when you can snuff them out. I remember when the Houston Rockets were up on that KD Warriors team 3-2, and I'm like, they have to win game six. Like, they should have played it as if we lose this, we lose everything.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how it is. You don't give this Warriors team light. But, yeah, Warriors game five. I think they take it. I don't think it's going to be that much of a problem. I think Tatum finds life. He has a 30-point game, but I still don't think it's enough.
I'm with you. Same ballpark. I don't know. The only thing that's really, really frightening if I'm Boston is if they're coming back down to earth shooting-wise. Like, if they're not hitting some of those shots, because – Horford started missing late. Marcus Smart missed a few late. Jason Tatum missed a few. I think he was like 1-for-5 in the fourth. Like, if they can't keep up that shooting, knocking down those shots.
Because the best defense is what? Great offense. I'm so glad we're coming full circle on the pod for a lot of the things. Sometimes you just got to be able to keep up with guys.
If they can't knock down those shots, man, that is going to change a lot about this
series. A missed shot would start to feel like a turnover against the Warriors because that's how fast they put up shots. So usually a missed shot is like, even if it's a good possession, it's like, all right, we'll get it back. Against a team like the Warriors who get up and down so fast, as the Celtics, they get up and down in transition at times, but just put up points in bunches like this.
Yeah.
If you're not hitting with them, that's why that third quarter is always so scary. It's like, I don't know what they take in the locker room at halftime, but they just come out gunning. And if you're not keeping stride with them, you will find yourself down by 20 really fast.
Yeah, so While they have shot it super well, and I don't want to take nothing away from it because they have been open, and, you know, an NBA player shooting open shots, which I tell people all the time, is a lay. Like, it's a layup. Percentages do matter. And, yo, if by any chance some of those percentages come back down to earth. Like,
a lot of averages happen, man. That's why it's a series, though. That's why I always love basketball, because I always said generally the better team wins.
So,
like, you've gotten your chance to prove it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like Eli Manning getting two chips.
Yeah. That's fast. That's some straight hate, bro. We went to a whole new sport to hate. Man, shout out to Eli.
No, honestly, like, Eli has my two favorite NFL rings of all time.
Nah.
But I'm going to always make fun of him.
No, we definitely needed that for the culture. We definitely needed those two for the culture.
Yeah, for the culture.
Because Tom Brady winning those, man, would have me sick. I was just thinking about,
you know, the New England area.
We didn't get into that. Do you have a problem with the crowd?
Nah, I don't think there's not. Nah,
has anything happened?
The F Steph, all that, they can... F this.
Okay,
F that,
all right, we're on the same time. Page. We're on the same page.
Those chants.
People getting really sensitive, and I'm like, yeah, hey, yo, I've heard this in high school basketball games from an 8-year-old. Like, this isn't.
Trey was getting that since he was six.
This isn't nothing. Like I've heard some sick stuff.
Nah, the touching or like the vulgarity of some of the comments that could be made. Like, okay, yeah, that stuff. There's no place in there. But the F you chants. Come on, bro. Dog, I want to be one of those people that's like, there's worse situations out there, but you play Virginia sports, bro. There's times where I didn't even tell my mom I had my games at like Atlee or something like that, because I don't want her going out there in those stands.
Right.
Like, those right. are the hostile
hard,
crowds.
Hard ERs them. Being yeah, dropped. Like hard ERs yeah. being dropped mid-game, and no one checking it. Nobody's checking it.
No, somebody's trying to check to see if you gonna check it, so they can check you about checking it. Like, facts. That's how it is around those parts. So when you're dealing with things like that, anything that's uncalled for, but the F Draymond chance, no,
it's the,
like, that's not what we're gonna complain about.
And I understand this. To some, this may sound kind of wild. It's Boston. I know.
Boston has horrible, nasty fans of vulgarity. I'm not defending Boston.
Defending
that chance.
But let's just keep it contextual here. It's Boston. It's the Celtics. And it's the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. What do you expect? This is light. Yeah. That was light.
Boston,
now granted,
like,
I know,
bro, we're behaving.
like and I saw the message from Draymond's wife. I want to say her name is Renee. I don't want to. I'm not trying to disrespect her in no way. I hope that's her name. I hope I said it correctly. And she had mentioned, like, my children are in the stands. His children are in the stands, and they're hearing F Draymond chants. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. You brought them to this hostile Take environment. Like,
watch them out. Watch at home. Like, I don't want to be disrespectful. Like, can't go see daddy at work, but like, keep them at home game.
Maybe they can't go see dad at work.
Series.
Like, this is
keep them at home game.
This is it. This is the culture. Like, this is what it is.
That is a part of it. It's not like if you were in the stands and it's like the Chris Paul family moment.
Right.
If that was happening.
Right.
That's
completely different. That's completely
Those fans
different.
Should never be allowed in an NBA arena again. But if we're talking about have Draymond a chance. It's not even people just screaming it at your sons.
Right. Or like that. Right. They're not calling your son names. They're not trying to attack you. They're not trying to attack your other child.
Not happening because I'm not there next to her the entire right. game. But if what I am getting is that she's speaking about the entire chance from the crowd,
right.
then I'm sorry, but that's all that is really going to be offered to
that's
you.
The league, dog. Yeah. That's the league. That's every league. Like, we can talk football. Shoot, y'all don't understand what they're saying over across the water for soccer.
I counter as well, too, because, like, a guy like Draymond has talked trash and said things about a lot of people. And he's vocal. He has a podcast. He's on TV, etc.
He wears that villain cap.
If they saw that on TV, like at some point when you bring the kids into it, I'm like, all right, bro. Like, if you couldn't get your point across without bringing the kids into it, then you're probably just baiting for
right.
Yeah, just for whatever reason. But yeah, this isn't something where I would give it any credence. Like, she got a point. I get it. I don't want that kid to hear his dad's name being channeled like that. So keep him at home. He can watch his dad and play at Chase.
Yeah, in a safe environment. A safer environment.
Well, like, what are we talking about? It's not like all of the games are going to be in Boston.
Yeah.
Or it's like a neutral field and now it's just an unsafe environment, period, for you or something like that. Like, keep him at home.
Okay.
Which sucks to say because I don't want to ever be like, oh, yeah, you can't go see your dad work. And I don't want to seem insensitive, but
it is what it is, bro. This is definitely a it is what it is kind of moment. Because I definitely
get it, but
because it was kind of weird because a lot of other fans were like, especially Golden State, were like, I can't believe they would, you know, stoop to this level, all that in the third, whatever. And I have to realize all fans aren't created equal. And I have to do a better job of that. But then I immediately saw like this picture of like a Boston fan. Posted this picture of like F. Braun and a Golden State fan was wearing it next to his 8-year-old kid. I've seen worse. I've seen LeBron go back to Cleveland and have batteries thrown at him. I've seen worse.
People gonna complain about something, man.
I've seen worse, bro. I've seen worse this playoffs. What Boston did to Kyrie was unruly. Like,
he's not getting nowhere near the Kyrie treatment.
Come on, bro. It's okay. F. Draymond chance okay.
Yeah, facts. I almost wanted to join in for motivational purposes.
We can move on, bro. Which one start with? Do you want to? Let's go with this, bro. Shout out J. Cole, man.
Yeah, shout out your dreams, man. We can follow our dreams. Draymond got a little heat. Let's uplift the pod a little bit. J. Cole, he's hooping in the CBL.
I think he just finished.
He got touring commitments. Is it, Scarsboro?
Shooting Stars.
Yeah, out in Canada. Shout out to, Drake Connect.
Everyone says he owns the team. I hope not.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. It's actually, he was just there to support him. But I think it's mad dope. And I think what's even more dope is that it seems that J. Cole is playing in the flow and function of the teams and the leagues. It's not like I'm going to be this rapper superstar, so I'm playing 30 minutes a game and putting up whatever shots I want.
Right.
It seems like he's just trying to hoop. So he's just following direction. Nah, man. He's like, I'm a 36-year-old like rapper, but like I've always had this dream and goal and passion and opportunity to play next level hoops to some degree. So
my guy's playing in the flow of a system.
Yeah.
And he is taking on his role.
Knocking down the jump shot.
My guy says, I'm a spot up. I'm going to knock down this corner three.
You play with Bron?
I can. I'm going to knock down this corner three, bro. And so I love it. I love to see it. And you know what the coolest part is? It ain't even on court, bro. I ain't never felt this before. I don't think any NBA rap guy going to ever feel this. Maybe Miles Bridges, depending on if he could put down. If he could put down his cup, if you saw all that nonsense. Because he about to fumble a bag. That's an off-season conversation. The cool part is checking in a game and hearing your bars drop.
Can you imagine?
Fam.
Can you imagine, like, your rookie year? They're playing Who That? That's your rookie year song. And then you got, some legendary verse at the end. Whatever you want to pick, his catalog.
You playing my classics as I check in?
I'm going for 40.
And he's
a game. I don't know about points, but shots.
If this was 10 years ago, Cole, oh my gosh, dog. Like, if Cole was giving us 2014 Forest Hills Drive and hooping.
Oh, nah. Master P.
Fam.
Like, to be honest, we would be like, nope, new age Master P. We would have gave him that.
Wow. But, insane.
No, this is already incredible, man. What I do love is this silently, without him competing, without him talking about it, kind of ends the rapper hoop debate. Is the fact that, you know, you had one go pro.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was while he was still, like, legendary in the rap game. It wasn't beforehand or anything like that. It was like, nah, I'm in arguably my hottest run.
Yep.
I'm a hoop.
Yep. Live your dream, dog. Live the dream. Never stop dreaming, bro.
Man.
Never stop dreaming.
You kind of end a debate with that. Regardless of one's conversation or anything like that. And first of all, if you're deciding on who's better in basketball about ones, then I don't want to talk to you about basketball. But Cole can hang that hat as being the best rapper hooper.
Yes.
That's a hat that they were arguing about for a while. And Drake set up a whole gym in his mansion.
And he running threes with guys he paid. My man Cole said, "Yo, I'm gonna go."
Like, if you guard Drake, you get thrown off the compound. Like, they were, have you seen the footage from those joints, bro?
No, I ain't seen that much.
Man, it's
Drake hooping?
It feels like he's just hooping out there with like mannequins set on 20%.
That's all right, man. All right, I'm not gonna disrespect Drake. I'm gonna let,
why not? You hoop.
I'm gonna let him have it. Cause one day I want to get invited to the compound, man. Who knows, man?
Fair.
Hey, fair. If you told me I can't guard Drake for 100K.
I mean, I'm gonna go out there. I physically can't guard nobody right now, so I don't got no pride.
If you telling me I gotta let Drake shoot shots for 100K?
10 racks, what you mean?
Easy money, dog. Easy money. Nah, I might accidentally block a shot even if you just said 10K.
Bro,
that's an accident. That's an effort. Like,
pay for my weekend vacation and can't, like people be asking
bad.
For a lot for random things. I'm like,
I call my own foul. Oop, my bad.
Nah,
I fouled you.
Drake, shoot two. If you want to throw me on the team and let me be a cone, yeah, for sure. And you want to just break off like, I don't know, vacation. I'm trying to go to Paris.
So yeah, man. Shout out to Cole. He said this in his parting words. Once he announced that he was. Leaving to go and tour. He says, quote, "I got to shout out the people of Scarborough because coming from America, I didn't really know," he said. "So I've learned so much that the people there feel seen with this basketball team and this league highlighting them. The people there feel seen, and I'm assuming that was not always the case. So I'm proud to be able to add something to Canada and to this talent that's in Canada. Those guys are incredible. So to be able to get some extra eyes on them is a pleasure."
You know what all of this was? I got a theory, right? And raps and hoops are synonymous. That's what we talk about this stuff.
All the time.
But I got a theory. The first theory, mind you, I'm not serious, but I'm half serious. The first theory is Cole took a shot at Kendrick, right?
Yep.
On the offseason. And it was a bar. And it was like something about you wouldn't be able to touch my first week, even if you sold a double disc.
Yep.
If y'all know the bar, y'all know that I'm close to it. Granted, it's a year or two before Kendrick's album out, so I'm like, okay. Now Cole, after all of these thousands of videos of Drake hooping online,
mm-hmm.
he goes pro in Canada before Drake.
So he's just debunking everybody. He's taking shots at everybody.
Because if you ask people about the Kenny album, some people feel underwhelmed.
That is true. Some people do feel underwhelmed.
And if you ask me about Drake's basketball skill, I tell you go look up on Instagram. So,
hey.
Hey, man. Shout out to Cole. I don't. I'm trying to start a beef or something. I don't know why I'm trying to disrupt the peace. Why can't legends coexist?
Oh, my God. That's funny.
Yeah, that's the conspiracy funny. Theories are hilarious. But, yeah, that's my conspiracy.
Well, last thing we're going to get to. And honestly, yeah, let's get to it. Report Suns DeAndre Ayton more likely to be somewhere else next season.
Yep.
Rumors suggest that there were internal issues between Monty Williams and Ayton during the semifinals. He was benched during the elimination game versus Dallas. And, quote, Monty was said to say, and this is rumored, you quit on us. So, Suns didn't offer DeAndre Ayton a max to start the season off last year. And now we got some names in that hat that could possibly pull DeAndre from Phoenix. It kind of feels like Phoenix is taking a step back. What? How do you feel about all of this?
I'm on Aiden's side.
You want Aiden's side?
100%. And I don't even, I'm not 100% sure about the because this is my first time hearing about the you quit on us line. I can't honestly say that. And I don't know the validity of the statement because, you know, we're not in those locker rooms. And
right.
They, in Phoenix, they, I guess they keep everything a little bit tighter under wraps. But what I saw Aiden do in that first playoff finals run.
Yeah.
What I've seen him do when he had the minutes and opportunity to when he's on the court.
Yeah.
And his minutes dwindled. It's not like his play got substantially worse, in my opinion, while watching. And this is somebody who was having contract talks for like the last year and a half, and they were not good.
Yeah.
To me, he was saying Phoenix didn't respect or believe that Ayton was going to command a max. Yeah. That's what it was telling me. So, regardless of before we get into to Ayton quitting on the team in terms of the minutes, because we were all confused as to why his minutes dropped.
Yeah.
I'm going to put a little bit more on the blame on Phoenix because I don't think they appreciated an asset and value that DeAndre Ayton is. He is going to command max offers. He deserves a max contract.
Mm.
I think he just, when you look at the players and you look at the field around, yeah, DeAndre Ayton has done that for you. He has been everything you've asked him to be out of, as a big. Has he had the room to grow and be a consistent 20-10 guy? No, but is his team set up for him to be a consistent 20-10 guy? No.
I would debate that.
You believe that it is?
I would debate that.
That it's set up for
him? Yeah, I think he could definitely get 20-10. Within that system, and I don't think 20-10 is out of his realm in terms of talent. I think there's something more to him that we're not all the way privy to. Like last season, he averaged 17-10.
They're talking to him as if, or about him as if it's the Wiggins treatment with Minnesota.
Yeah,
like that's the feel of it, and that's kind of why I'm taking a little bit aback by it, because I didn't get a Wiggins feel from DeAndre Ayton, to be completely honest, especially out of what I saw from that first finals run.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, how could you not try to offer this guy the max, especially at his age, at his position, his ability? And then when you look around the NBA,
right,
at his counterparts, sometimes you do have to look at the field.
No, I agree. You have to look at the field, but you also want to see someone elevate in that space too. Like, can I say that DeAndre elevated?
Nah,
I can't.
Nah,
I can't say
that. He has gotten better over the years, but that could just be a natural accustomed to the NBA type of thing.
And so, if I can't say that, and I also have conversations with my coach, if I'm like the GM or I'm the president, whatever case may be, I'm having conversations with coach. I'm saying there's something off with him. There's a lack of indecision there, lack of focus there at certain points. Okay, now I can start having questions about him. And once again, I was super high on DeAndre getting this max, and I was super for it to start last season. I said this has to happen. I still think it's a very important thing on their list of things to do, because where else are you going to look for a guy like DeAndre Ayton in free agency?
That's why I say you got to look at the field.
And so, and you have a lot of agent. You have an agent point guard. You kind of want to solidify the number two guy per se, next to Book. You want to solidify that as best you can. This is your second overall pick. No, first. My bad. First overall pick. You can't just let him walk out the door either. Like, sign and trade, you got to do something. Like,
they're going to have, I mean, he's going to be unrestricted. So,
like, you can't just let your first overall pick walk out the door just because you didn't think he was good enough. Like, because that's the conversation. He's not good enough now. He's not good enough.
No, what it feels like to me is scapegoating. Mm. And that's honestly what it feels like.
And we're going to have to talk about that in a deeper way. We're going to talk about that in a deeper way in the offseason because no one's saying it. And then they started saying, like, there's also COVID aspects involved, too. Like, it's a lot to this Phoenix Suns. It's a lot to this Phoenix Suns, bro.
Y'all, first of all, the first year, y'all go farther than what y'all should have.
Yeah.
Go to the finals, y'all lose. I still respect that run. I respected this Phoenix team this year in terms of having the ability to kind of get back to the finals. Didn't think they were going to win it, even if they got back.
Yeah.
This year, y'all come up short. Luka blesses y'all. Shows y'all why he should have been the number one pick. I understand the fit and the you know, light-skinned Kobe and Shaq kind of deal that they were going for. Mm-hmm. Back then, Leak and I had extensive arguments that summer about who should go number one. And I told him, when you have the number one pick, you draft off talent. Period. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care if the number one talented person, again, is another point guard and you got Steph. Oh, well. If he's that good, you get another point guard and you figure it out. To be honest, and you do trades or something. But so when I saw the way this has gone down, would you blame DeAndre Ayton for most of those losses? Because I don't think I wouldn't
necessarily
say. I
can't blame him for the loss.
He couldn't have played better.
That's the point, though.
But my biggest thing is when I was watching those games, I wasn't like, DeAndre, what are you doing? At any of these points, did I get disgustedly, like, confused about his play? Could he have been played harder at times? Sure, everybody could have. Everybody looked lost at times. But when I look at his play as compared to maybe D Books at times, especially Chris Paul's at times, a lot of the role players, the cohesion of it at all. I'm like, Phoenix, like, the first bit of news we're going to really get is DeAndre Ayton wasn't playing hard enough and et cetera, et cetera. It feels like scapegoating to me. That's exactly what it feels like.
I understand that aspect. And I understand he's not at fault solely. But once again, you're asking for a max. I can't just. And Phoenix isn't as big of a market as Golden State, LA, the Clips.
I understand, like, what
I can't just be tossing out $30 million contracts to everybody.
I say it all the time. We gotta start being careful with these maxes. They're completely right about how they go about it. But I also think DeAndre Ayton wasn't the person that I wouldn't have offered a max to.
Fair.
Especially because you're going to have to you want to sign him anyway to trade him.
Yeah.
So.
Fair. Fair.
Because like, this is he's not still on his rookie, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he never got extended.
No.
Yeah, Luka got extended. This would everybody be the got extension. Extended. This everybody would be got the one. Trey Young has already got an extension. He was the only one.
He's the only one out of that.
Come on, bro.
He's the only one, bro.
Come on, dog. Pay my man.
I don't know, bro. It's a lot to Phoenix. I'm gonna try and break it down a little bit better so I can understand it when we talk about the offseason.
We can talk about that for a while, but I understand what you're talking about that money getting tied up. It's the reason why I say, like, some people just shouldn't get maxes. I don't care. DeAndre Ayton just wasn't one of those guys. He just wasn't. And he wasn't at the don't give him the max money, I don't care yet. Because this is his first paycheck. That was more, say, for the James Hartons and the I'm not giving a 33-34-year-old 45 M's anymore.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll get to it. We out of here, though. Shout outs,
man. Oh, we've been talking about wigs. That was really the only thing I had to. Okay. Just making me right. I appreciate that. I appreciate that, man. He's making me look like a genius.
Shout out, man. Shout outs to Wiggs. Shout out to the WNBA. We haven't really got a chance to talk about them. We haven't really talked about Brittany Griner either. Prayers to her. And, you know, charge to our heads and not our hearts in terms of her well-being. We hope that she's able to get home safe. We hope she's safe there, even though she's in a very, very tough predicament, very complex predicament that, I'm not versed enough to speak to all of it. But we do pray that she gets home safely and sound and as soon as possible. Shout out to the NBA, and in particular NBA coaches. 50% of the coaches in the NBA head coaches are black men. So shout out to that. Darvin Ham got a job as of late.
I know we're shouting out black coaches, and this is a really weird time.
No, go ahead.
But there was just a coach hiring like yesterday that we didn't talk about.
Kenny Atkinson
going to the Hornets.
Yes.
So we did forget to mention that in the normal pod, not to interject the white man.
No, you good? Black man, you good? Segment, but I'm a fan of Kenny Atkinson, bro.
He actually did get hired, and you talked about Darvin Ham. So I'm like, for the new coaches who just got hired, group them in together. But shouting out the black coaches.
No, to further it, shout out to Kenny Atkinson, though, because I'm a fan of his. He's been with Golden State. Golden State's going to have to rebuild that assistant coach bench because it's gone. It's gone. You lost Mike Brown to Sacramento.
But that's now what you lost Kenny year after year for a championship roster squad. Mm-hmm. When you have those assistants, Darvin Ham got snatched from the Bucks. Like, when you're those top teams, your assistants get snatched.
This is the first – Mike Brown's been with Golden State for six years.
It's been six?
He's been with them for a minute, dog.
It has been six.
He's been with them.
Luke got snatched, though, a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And it was another coach.
I ain't no hater, but you know.
I mean, that because he turned out to be bad. But that was his first head coaching stint, so I'm not going to say turned out to be bad. His first stint turned out to be awful. Not him as a coach.
Right.
But I will judge his time in Sacramento. An awful place to coach at as well.
So, yeah, shout out to all the new coaches. Shout out to the league making an effort to diversify coaches and allow, you know, African-Americans and minorities to play a bigger part in leading a team. So, Dell Demps just got a job with New Orleans, I think, former player. So, yeah, a lot of it. A lot of it is out there in the league, man, and we definitely want to show love to it all.
Yeah, speaking of assistant coaches, we talked about Wallace getting hired by the Lakers.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Sheed, bro.
Yeah.
Sheed. Hey, yo, AD can't be coming in there with that weak stuff. Sheed going to be on him, dog.
I'll pay for a Hard Knocks. of the Lakers this summer.
Lakers Hard Knocks would be crazy, bro.
I'm telling you, dog. I'll subscribe to it.
Hey, I don't know, man. I don't know if anybody got that in the works, but if y'all do, that's RIP, specifically to Mons.
$7.99. I'm guaranteed I will pay for that subscription.
Y'all stole RIP if it pops up, specifically to Mons. Because ain't nobody else think of it.
I can't put it together. So I can't even.
And it's on wax. It's on wax. I don't care if you can't put it together. Hey, we said it. Come on, man.
If this holds up in court, then yeah, this is our property. I want, like, full compensation. But if it can't hold up in court, get it done and do it right.
Facts.
Somebody gonna steal something. That's what I learned. Shout out to Torrance and pirating. hey, man, when you broke it, you want music in the hood, you gonna figure it out.
Oh, my gosh, man. Shout out to LimeWire. We getting out of here, man. We appreciate y'all. If y'all enjoyed this show, man, do as always. Subscribe, like, comment, share with someone else, man. Share the show with someone else. We're trying to get our numbers up best we can. We know we've been gone for a minute, so we got to get back into the rhythm of things. But we appreciate y'all, anyone who's watching on YouTube or listening on Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, you name it, man. We appreciate y'all. Rate the show 5 stars, 4 stars. Like my mama said, you ain't got nothing nice, you don't say nothing at all.
Hear that? All mamas across the nation. If you don't got nothing nice to say, especially about your baby boy, don't say nothing at all.
Oh, man, we appreciate you. As always, easily bring the game. We love you. Be safe, and we out.